Amen. Amen. Well, we've talked about our theme for last year and this year being one of Christian growth and maturity. As believers in Jesus, we're called to go deep, not to just kind of stay where we are or stay static, but to push in. And so we've looked at what are things that we can do as a community that push us to greater growth in Christ. One of the things we do, obviously, is small groups. You heard that announced earlier. We'll introduce all our summer small groups next week. And another thing that we do is we want to kind of dive into certain topics that help us grow as believers. And so we're taking a break from the Second Thessalonians, the book of the Bible that we've been going through, because we really want to dive deep into the topic of walking with others, sharing the gospel with others, engaging with others for Christ's name, for their blessing. People that don't know Christ, friends, family, neighbors, co-workers, how do we walk with them? How do we talk about spiritual things with them? How do we, bless them in Jesus' name? How do we make that sometimes difficult and awkward transition from small talk to heart talk about Christ and the gospel? As believers in Jesus, this is what we're called to do. As believers in Jesus, this is one of the ways that God uses to grow us, is to engage with others in the gospel. And so we want to take some time this week and next week to dive deep into that topic. And so we have asked John Rozelle to teach us on that. We're so thankful for John and Amy Rozelle and the ministry that they're a part of, Crew. The Watkins are also part of Crew. Thank God for Crew. Crew works with college students around the world. And there are no doubt many, 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 many stories of people in this city who are or have been impacted by Crew. And John is the team leader for the Portland area. And so this is his work, to engage with people with gospel intentionality, to share the gospel with people. And so he has led a small group on and off for a few years here at the Well around this topic. And we asked him, hey, do what you did in the small group to the whole church, which is not a small task. It does obviously require some pretty big adjustments and tweaking. But we thought the material is so good, we want the whole church to be able to participate in that. So John will be speaking this week and next. And so we invite you up, brother. Thank you.
About this church is that you can come here on a Sunday and just get God's word. I appreciate CJ and our other elders that don't come with their own agenda, their own ideas. They preach through books of the Bible for God's word to instruct who we are to be as people and what we are to believe. Today is not one of those Sundays. As CJ said, it's going to be much less of a sermon and more about just thinking about how do we engage in the spiritual lives of other people. The things that we learn here on Sundays, how do we then go and help other people engage with those same ideas? And so I just think it's an incredible privilege that as people around us are on their own spiritual journeys, that we get to come alongside them in that journey and help them take the next step. So as CJ mentioned, I'm going to try to make this a little more interactive. It may have a slightly different feel than most Sundays, so I'm going to need your help. But I have faith in you guys. I believe we can do this together. So as we talk about engaging in other people's spiritual journeys, engaging in their stories, it seemed appropriate to me to maybe share a little bit of my own story. And over the last few years, a lot of people that I work with have started writing I Am From poems. So a poem that just shares some of their story, their experience, things that have shaped them, shaped their values, their experiences, people that have been influential in their lives. And so I wrote one of these. I've only shared it with 5 people, and I'm not a poet. You'll see that very soon. But I'm just going to share this with you guys as a way to kind of invite you into my own story, my own journey. I'm from a city surrounded by a state full of wheat fields. I'm from humid, mosquito-filled summers and sheets of ice winters. I'm from the middle of the country, nothing as far as the eye can see. Middle of social groups, not quite smart enough, athletic enough, or rebellious enough to be one of them, but enough to be with them. comfortable everywhere, but belonging nowhere. I'm from Rice-A-Roni, chicken nuggets, and Otter Puffs in the summer. I'm from a teacher from Brooklyn and his student from Kansas. A mom who played games with me and taught me to study. A dad who loved dart gun battles, sock bomb fights, and shooting the BB gun with me in the living room. I am from a cheek full of sunflower seeds in the middle infield while my parents cheered me on, and learning to be part of a team where my contribution wasn't necessarily the most significant one. I'm from epic sleepovers at my best friend's house, made up games of rad catch and kick trip, singing REM songs, experiencing my first extra value meal. I'm from learning as a 13-year-old that death takes those closest to us, even if he's just a kid. I'm from hating death and vowing never again to love like that so that I never have to hurt like that again. I'm from sunburns, peeling at the water park, breaking rules, and trying to impress girls. I'm from a stable home, same room for 18 years. Always there, always home, regardless of what state or country I resided in. I'm from a stability that has given me freedom to move, explore, roam, knowing in the midst of all my homes, I have a home. I am from knowing that I am loved, yet constantly working to earn something that is already mine. I'm from taking risks that I took with every drug put in front of me, that people took on me and trusted me with responsibility I hadn't earned. I'm from the privilege of an assumed expectation that I could do whatever I wanted, be whatever I wanted, few obstacles in the way. I'm from having to live in another culture to begin understanding that I have my own. I'm not the self-made man. I'm a man made by the hard work, sacrifice, and consistent generosity of others. All I have has been given to me, despite my longing to take the credit. I'm from trusting others to always be there until they weren't. A terrorist attack, a friend's pregnancy, and a best friend's suicide collapsed my trust and fueled my search for someone stable. I'm from answered prayers that my dad prayed for me daily, and heartfelt prayers that when answered created in me anger, doubt, and darkness. I'll never pray again if that's how you're going to answer, I said. I'm from realizing that life can come out of death even if I'm not exactly sure how. I'm from moral victories, faithful love, steadfast obedience earned for me, given as a gift. Now I'm from a new family, even more generous and stable than the one I grew up with. Now I'm from a new community where I fit in perfectly, imperfections and all. So those are some snapshots of my story. And I know you all have your own stories. And actually here in a little bit, I'm going to give you a chance to share some parts of your story. But don't worry, it's not going to require you to talk to anyone. But hold on for that. Collectively, we as humanity share a common story, one that God is the author of and one that he has revealed to us through his word. In the beginning, he made everything. Monkeys, mountains, fish and flowers, black widows and black holes, gold and galaxies, and the pinnacle of creation, us, distinct from everything else he'd made. In Genesis 1:27, we see that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. There's a lot we could unpack here as to what it means to be in the image of God. But at the very least, God is a spiritual being that has created us in his image as spiritual beings. And as a result, every person on the planet is a spiritual being on a spiritual journey, either moving towards God or moving away from God. Regardless of their religion, disability, personal hygiene, sexual orientation, political party, social status, drug and alcohol history, every single person on the planet bears God's image. Oftentimes our culture tells us that only some people are spiritual or that we're not supposed to talk about spiritual things with other people, but the Bible tells us a different story, that our core, our fundamental essence as humans, we're the same, image bearers of God. Each person reflects something of God. And because of that, each person has incredible value, worth, and dignity. So the main idea for this morning is that as image bearers of God, every person is a spiritual being on a spiritual journey, and we have the privilege of coming alongside them and hopefully helping them take the next step closer to Jesus. So practically, how do we do that? How do we engage in people's spiritual journeys? Or even like, what's the best first step? For me, when I started to follow Jesus in college and I began to experience forgiveness and freedom from shame and freedom from finding value in what other people thought about me or said about me, I just wanted other people to experience this same Jesus that I had been experiencing. But I had no idea how to do that. I didn't even know where to start in relationships with people. So the things that I'm going to be sharing this morning are just things that I feel like have been super helpful for me as I try to engage in other people's lives. And I've had the privilege of 13 years doing college ministry. And, you know, I think there are some people that are just naturals at sharing their faith with others. It's easy for them. It seems like everybody they talk to wants to start following Jesus. That is not me. In my 13 years on staff of this organization, I think I've maybe seen one person in that kind of conversation start to follow Jesus. So this, for me, this is work. This takes practice. This takes a willingness to mess up. And so I just want to invite you into that process with me. But I'm convinced people are on a spiritual journey, and I want to be a part of it. So before we get into how we engage in people's lives spiritually, I think we need to answer the question of why should we even bother wanting to introduce people to Jesus? And on a typical Sunday morning, we get a lot of biblical perspective on why we should do that. So this morning, we're going to do things a little bit different. Any of you guys like magic? Yeah. Well, don't get your hopes up because I don't know any magic. But do you know who Penn and Teller are? They're magicians in Las Vegas. And Penn is a very outspoken atheist. He hates Christians, the Bible. In all fairness, he basically hates all world religions. But I think Christianity has a special place in his heart. If you search anything from him on YouTube, you'll find that out very quickly. So what we're going to do is we're going to watch it's a 5-minute video that he took after one of his shows and an experience that he had with a Christian guy. And so I just think it's helpful. We don't often at church get an atheist perspective on Christians sharing their faith. Penn uses the word proselytism a couple times. If you're not familiar with that word, it basically just means evangelism. Where he's talking about this guy who's wanting to share his Christian faith with Penn. So let's take a look and see what this atheist perspective of Christians sharing their faith is.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand because we'd give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it, but he said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. And then he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell, or not getting eternal life, or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like 5 phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
So let's take the next 2 minutes, and I'd love for you guys in groups of 2 or 3, just share, like, what stood out to you from that? Like, what were some of the phrases, the ideas that maybe shocked you from an atheist, or just things that are still kind of ringing around in your head? So I'll give you 2 minutes, and then we'll gather back together. Okay, maybe go ahead and wrap up your final thoughts. Okay, well, I'm glad you guys have that much to share. Feel free to continue those conversations after church. So Penn has given us a lot of reasons why we should share our faith. But how do we do that? How do we take the first step? I'm convinced the best way to start engaging people's spiritual lives is to be an explorer. You think about explorers just in general, like what do explorers do? They chart new territory, they go to new places, they boldly go where no one has gone before. Like this requires risk oftentimes. It's an adventure. It's impossible to be prepared for all possible circumstances. And I think all of those things relate as we think about exploring people's lives spiritually as well. We might be going somewhere that no one else has ever gone before. And there's a certain amount of excitement and adventure with that. But it's also risky. And it's impossible to be prepared for every situation that we might find. For me, I think one of the biggest challenges as I engage with people is it's easy for me to make assumptions about people. But the reality is we can't guess where people are spiritually. We have to discover that. And I've failed on that multiple times. I have a tendency to put people in boxes. There's usually two of them. There's Christian and there's non-Christian. Like those are the two categories that I think in, which I think biblically those are true categories that people actually fit into. People who have submitted their lives to Jesus, trusted for his death on the cross to be sufficient to make them right with God. And I think there are people who have just chosen to define good by their own, by themselves, and live life as they see fit. But those categories aren't helpful for me as I engage in the spiritual lives of people. I'll give you an example. I had a buddy, Ron, in high school. He wasn't actually a buddy, but we had all the same friends. And we hung out together every weekend. We partied together. And I was always scared of Ron. Like, he wasn't big, but he had forearms like Popeye. And he was just tough, and he was mean, and he got in fights every weekend, and he rarely lost. And in college, as Jesus began to transform my life, and I wanted people that I cared about to know the same Jesus, Ron came to my mind. And I just assumed, man, he's already so angry. He's just going to be just as angry about me wanting to talk about Jesus as he is everything else. But I had a desire for him to know Jesus. And so one time I was back home over the summer in Kansas. I got a hold of Ron, figured out time I was going to go over to his house, which was weird, because like Ron and I never hung out, just the two of us, because we weren't friends. We hung out in our group of friends together. And so I remember driving over to his house just super afraid and intimidated and just praying like 30 minutes the whole time, like, dear Lord, I have no idea how this is going to go. Please guard me from physical harm. I don't have any idea how Ron's going to respond. I've seen him angry, and it's frightening. And we're just at his home. There's not going to be anybody there to call the police. But Jesus, you have changed my life, and I would love for Ron to know you as well. So I get there, and his girlfriend Melanie is there, and we're hanging out. We have dinner, and I'm just stressing out, like, how do I bring this up? God, in his mercy, answered my prayers. And at one point, Ron was like, dude, what's all this Jesus stuff I've been hearing about with you? Like, what's that all about? I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Conversation started. As I began to talk to Ron and his girlfriend Melanie, I realized that his girlfriend Melanie was into Wicca. It was something that was really important to her. And Ron had actually grown up in a Catholic family and had like a general trust and respect for the Bible. I was shocked. I would have, of all my friends, I would have guessed that Ron was the furthest away. Those conversations have continued to develop over the years. And a few years back, Ron told me that he's like, hey, you know those Bibles that have like different articles and stuff in them? Where would I find one of those? And I was like, you mean like a study Bible that has like study notes? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever you call it. He's like, I've just been wanting to learn more about how the Bible got written and, you know, all this different stuff. And Ron wants a study Bible. Awesome. So I gave him a study Bible. And we've been able to continue those conversations over the years. And it was easy for me to make assumptions about what category Ron was in. But the problem with the categories of Christian and non-Christian is we know what someone is, but we don't know who they are. We don't know their story. We don't know how they got there, what they believe, or why. And so I want to suggest, rather than thinking about people in those categories, that we think about people on a spectrum or on a scale, that you've got some people over here who are just hostile to the gospel. They hate Christians. They hate the church. And they are willing to tell everyone they know about it. And then maybe you've got some people right here that are just resistant to the gospel, resistant to Jesus. Right here, you've got people that are just, maybe they're kind of indifferent. They don't really care one way or another. They're pretty content. But then maybe you've got some people who are, they're open to new ideas. They're willing to hear some things, maybe bounce ideas around. You've got some people that are curious. Like, they're kind of looking for new ideas to challenge their thinking or guide their lives. And then you've got people that are seeking. Like, they're just looking for answers, right? And then on this side of the cross, you've got believers who may just be struggling in their walk with God. And then you've got people who are healthy and connected to community and growing. And when I think about this spectrum, I think about the way that I interact with somebody who's hostile is going to be different than interacting with somebody who's seeking. I think what this person needs is a Christian who loves them, cares for them as a person. That might be one step for them to move to just being resistant. But if you're talking to a seeker and you're just like, I just love you. Like, I'm a Christian and I love you because God loves me. They're like, that's not good enough. I need answers. Why did Jesus die? Tell me. And the person here who's indifferent, like, I think what they need is they need to be challenged a little bit in their ideas, their worldviews, their beliefs, their assumptions. But if you do that with somebody that's hostile, it's just like poking an angry bear with a stick, right? And so I think a way that we honor people and we care about them is we try to explore and figure out where they're at on this journey so that we can engage with them as an individual where they're at. Do you know people in each of those categories? Like, can you think of names of people that you would say maybe are hostile or resistant, indifferent, open, curious, seeking, struggling believer, connected believer? So earlier, I shared a little bit of my story, and I'd love for you guys to share some parts of your story with us. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to read a statement, and if this statement is true for you, I'd love for you to stand up just to say, identify that as being part of your story. We're all in process. None of us have arrived. Some of these questions are pretty basic, but some of them are a little more personal. And I'm not going to make you stand up if you feel uncomfortable with it. The reality is I can't make you stand up. I wouldn't even if I could. But I would encourage us as a body to be vulnerable with ourselves and part of our story. You guys up for this? Because we're doing it either way. Okay. I grew up in a Christian family. So stand up if that's true of you. Cool. Thanks. You can sit down. I am an only child. I am an only child. Okay, thanks. I have lived in a country different than the one I was born in. My parents are divorced. I've had someone close to me die. I still have some significant questions about Jesus, the Bible, or Christianity that haven't been answered yet. I've been following Jesus for more than 30 years. I've been following Jesus for less than 2 years. I sometimes have a hard time believing that God could love me. I speak two or more languages. I have struggled with drugs or alcohol. Understanding my ethnicity and cultural values make my faith so much more rich. Someone in this room was the first person to tell me about Jesus. I think John's wife is so lucky to be able to spend every day of the rest of her life with him. That's very kind of you. My wife didn't stand up, but I feel affirmed by you other people who care about me. Sorry, some of these are heavy. I thought I'd lighten it up a little bit. I want to invest in the spiritual lives of others. Sometimes I struggle to believe that Jesus can forgive me for things I've done. Following Jesus has cost me significantly. I'm not completely certain that I want to follow Jesus, but I at least want to make an educated decision about it. Someone in this room has played a significant role in helping me follow Jesus. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing parts of your story with us. You see, there's a lot of stories in this room, right? You see that maybe even just the categories of non-Christian and Christian are not all that helpful. If there are that many differences among these 200 people that have chosen to spend time together on a Sunday morning at the same church, talking about, thinking about the same things, singing the same songs together, and there's that much diversity, maybe this label of non-Christian is not all that helpful for us to understand people and their particular story and journey. Again, please don't hear me say those aren't legitimate labels. I think those are true biblically, but they're just not that helpful as we try to get to know individual people who are created in the image of God and have a story. So, if every person is a spiritual being on a spiritual journey, how do we know where they are on their journey or on that spectrum? Well, what did I just do in our little activity? I asked questions. Technically, I made statements, but you get the idea. The way that we figure out where people are on that spectrum is we ask them. And I learned this 8 years ago when I moved to Portland. I was hanging out in the park blocks downtown by PSU, and I just struck up a conversation with a guy and just asked him if I could ask him questions about his life and his spiritual beliefs. And so I just started asking him a bunch of questions, like what he cared about, what he valued, what he lived his life for. I started asking about his spiritual beliefs, what he believed and why. And I asked him if he had any sort of belief in God. And he said, well, no. He's like, well, if I did, it wouldn't be the Christian God. That's interesting. Like, why are you so certain if there is a God, it's not the Christian God? And he said, well, Christians just aren't open-minded like you and me. That's weird. So I stepped back and thought to myself, okay, I just met this guy. He's known me for 30 minutes. What does he know about me? All that he knows about me is that I ask questions and I listen. So from his perspective, therefore, I cannot be a Christian. So that was kind of a shaming moment, I think, for us as a people. Like, that's awful that that's his experience of us. And so I continued to ask him questions, and he shared some hard things that were going on in his life, and I just asked him, I was like, man, yeah, life just sucks sometimes. Like, what do you do when life is hard? Is there anything that's, like, stable or consistent in your life that helps get you through those hard times? He thought about it, and he said, no, not really. Like, there's nothing in my life. What about you? So in our 30 or 40 minutes of conversation, this was the first question he had asked me. And so I said, honestly, man, it's Jesus. Like, he is the only person that has lived and died and came back from death. And I think as humans, like, death is the scariest, most permanent thing I'm aware of. And if death can't even stop him, then nothing can. He's the only one that's there for me always. He's the only one that's stable and consistent in my life. And so you can imagine his shock that I was one of those people. But at that point, he could tell just because I'd asked questions and I'd listened, they knew that I actually cared about him as a person. And so he was intrigued. He wanted to hear more about this Jesus because he realized that I cared about him as a person. And I don't think there's a silver bullet for us as we think about engaging in the spiritual lives of people, but if there were, I would say this is it. It's asking questions and listening. I think historically this is something that we as Christians have done a horrible job of. And the better I become at doing that, the more I'm amazed at the doors this opens in people's lives to have incredibly significant conversations about eternal things. Howard Hendricks, teacher and author, said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I just think that rings true with my experience. So, the next logical question is, well, what questions would we ask people to find out where they're at on this spiritual journey? So I'm going to open that up. Like, any ideas? What are questions we can ask people to find out where they are on their spiritual journey? Are they a believer? Okay. What else? What gives you hope? Yeah, do you have any sort of religious background? Those are good. For me, I think the challenge is we get stuck there. Like, I don't know what good questions are. Like, I don't know how to start this. So if you guys look in each of the pews, there's an envelope. Don't get too excited. It's not like you're on Oprah. It's not winning a prize. So would you look? So I think on the inside aisles, there's envelopes. If there's a couple, maybe pass one up to the row in front of you, like in the front here if you don't have those envelopes. And what this is it's just a list of questions to explore where people are at on their spiritual journey. And so for me in college, once I got my hand on a list of questions like this, I was like, perfect. That's how I get started to engage in people's spiritual lives. So what I want you to do is I want you guys to take a minute and read through the front and back of these cards. And if you have a pen, maybe circle your two favorite questions. So look through there. Some of these questions are okay. Some of them are great. Read through there and find two that you really like. Okay, so I'll give you a minute to do that. Okay, so now we're going to take 2 minutes, and maybe in those same groups of two or three, I just want you to turn to people and share what those questions are that you like the best. And then maybe just share why you like those, what it is about those that you think are helpful. So we're going to take 2 minutes to do that to discuss in our groups. Okay, go, maybe go ahead and start wrapping up those conversations. I know not probably not all of you got to share which questions you like, but we'll go ahead and bring it back together. I'm glad you guys are excited about this. That warms my heart, but it may not warm my heart as much as you listening to what I have to say. And please feel the freedom to continue those conversations. Like this is stuff that's so helpful for me. Personally, as I engage in people's lives. And so I have a question for us as the Well community. Can we collectively, as a church, take a step of faith together this week? I want to ask us to memorize those two questions. You guys are sharp people. It shouldn't be hard to memorize two questions. Memorize those two questions, and throughout the course of this next week, ask those two questions to two people. So if there's about 200 of us in here next week, we would have asked 800 questions to 400 people. Just imagine how the Lord might open doors to explore, find out where people are at on their spiritual journey, get to know them on a deeper level, and potentially help them take another step towards Jesus in the midst of their journey. I was talking through some of this stuff with some students at Clark College a couple months ago and challenged them to do the same thing. The second week, I came back and asked if any of them had been able to explore. And one of the girls, who's actually a high school student taking college classes, said that after we had talked about this, she went to work at the mall, and her manager asked, "Hey, how are you doing today?" And she said, "Well, good. I just learned all these really cool questions. I'm excited to ask somebody." And her manager said, "Well, what are the questions you should ask me?" They ended up having an hour and a half long spiritual conversation at work. And her manager ended up coming to church with her on Sunday. And her manager hadn't been to church in like 5 years. And you can just imagine kind of that social dynamic of a high school student and your manager. It's already kind of weird, and then you bring her to church. But how cool that God moved through that conversation to make himself known. And so I know our culture often tells us that not everybody is spiritual and that we're not supposed to talk about these things. But I think the Bible tells us a different story, that God has created people in his image. Colossians 1 says that we were made through Jesus and for Jesus. And I don't think people are actually going to find their true meaning and purpose in life until they find the one that made them. And though God can work in people's lives in whatever way he wants, for some reason, he's chosen to use normal people like us, engaging in conversations, talking about him and talking about things that matter as the way that he reveals himself. I think the best first step in this is for us to explore, that we show our love for people by actually asking them questions and taking the time and the energy to listen to what they have to say. So I think we have an incredible opportunity to engage in people's spiritual lives. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to have all the answers. But I think the first step is just to have the right questions. Next week, we're going to continue this conversation and how we move from exploring people's lives to how do we tangibly guide them to who Jesus is and help them understand what he's done. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for your patient and faithful pursuit of us. Thank you for the people in our lives that you have used to show us who you are and to tell us who you are. We are so thankful for your community and the ways that you've made yourself known. May we continue to be that community together this week. Holy Spirit, would you give us boldness to take steps of faith, to care about people well, and to recognize and look for and see your image in them and come alongside them in their spiritual journeys, and invite you to be at work through us. In Jesus' name, amen.